And it is 8:49 on the clock, so we'll call to order the Board of Supervisors, and we'll recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thanks. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Tenants by observation, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. Entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. One, general agenda. Two, approve minutes of the meeting held October 28, 2015. Number three, approve all claims through November 12, 2015 in the amount of $670,295.64, except claim number 15110133 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $26,737.99. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve clerk of the district court summary fee report and register of deeds filing report for the month of October 2015. Approve canceling check number 15100055 to Pinnacle Bank in the amount of $349.99. Received county treasurer's distress warrant listings of 2014 delinquent personal property taxes. And received county audit for fiscal year ending 6/30/15 and place on file. Entertain a motion to approve.
I think Tiemann made a motion.
Oh, he did.
Approve. Second.
A motion by Tiemann, seconded by Byers. Don, you want a little bit? There was a insurance check or something you said it came through?
Oh, on the claims?
Yeah.
That they charged us for some medical claims, but it went over our threshold and we were reimbursed, so it was $149,000. So it was kind of trading dollars. We had to pay them out, and then they paid us back. So that shot our...
But that's part of why the claims were as big as they were.
Mm-hmm. I spoke with Terry this morning, and he said he wanted to point out also that we had about $96,000 worth of rock and gravel and material like that out there this time that came through. So he said there was a big number out there, too. So.
Anybody else? Vote. 6-0. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number...
Oops, it went up above 15.
Yeah, it's 15110133 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of.
Yeah.
Well, this is 27,000. The front page is 26,000.
Well, 26.
It's 26.
I'm like 26 was good to me.
$26,737.99. Total for the claims approved then are
$697,033.63.
Yep, no, that's right. And that total on the claims.
It's right.
It's right.
No.
697,033.63.
That's an addition of 26.
Yeah.
Did the clerk add that up?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh.
Ooh.
No, that is the correct total. That's
that is the correct total. The
$697,033.63
is the correct total.
Just checking. Yeah, love dripping
out. Thanks,
Don.
Matt.
So entertain a motion to approve.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Byers. Vote. 5-0 with Tiemann abstaining. Committee reports, building and grounds.
I didn't have anything unusual. I'll just throw in my meetings, Region 5 system and services. I threw out some of our agendas. I thought you might look over to just see what all we're doing at our meetings. And when you had your committee meetings Monday morning, I had my Region 5 meetings. And so you can just kind of see what we're doing. So we'll pass those around.
We don't
have anything unusual, at least. Nope. Dave didn't call me. I called to see if there was anything unusual, and he didn't.
He hasn't gotten any bids back yet for the probation, so, okay, because
no.
He's trying to get, Dave's working at getting some bids down there for installing some walls and stuff.
Right.
So, okay. Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance insurance.
I was absent.
We did the claims, but we didn't really do anything else, did we?
The insurance was that check I told you
about.
Right.
The only other thing was the adjustment in price on core health insurance.
That's coming up in another agenda item, but yes, we did talk about the NERMA insurance.
That's farther down here on the for the courthouse, the reproduction cost coverage, and we'll visit about that later on our agenda. Excuse me. Human resource.
Nothing.
Law enforcement.
We had a little bit of discussion about 911, and there was some concern as to whether or not that was working properly. Gus did some checking in on that, and passed out to everybody, including Scott, the little page here. And when you dial 911, it goes directly to the dispatcher. Otherwise, if you dial 223-4080 or 223-5221, then it goes to the calling tree, which involves the push 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So just so everybody knows, Gus did check on that. It is working properly. And that is the way it's set up. We had a short discussion in emergency management. And I think we just need to make clarification here. I don't know that I see anything on the agenda about it. But Tim started to go into a long discussion about moving the Blue Springs Tower again. And I guess Eric and myself both were under the understanding that we were moving forward with the same footprint in the same place.
I was too.
The one thing that Eric had asked for that I don't think he's still gotten information on is what the costs of installing everything was going to be. And I think if we're going to be working on it, direction needs to be made that that's the one thing that we're working on right now, not trying to change the footprint again. So I just think we should throw that out there for discussion right here and move forward if we're moving forward.
And being it's a new tower, is there any PNC, our own PNC requirements that would require us to move it?
Not if it's on the same footprint.
Yeah. So the costs you were talking about, we had some pricing about roughly $300,000. You're taking the equipment and everything on there. Is that what we're additional?
Well, when we talked one time, basically everything that will be powering stuff, the amplifiers, everything will probably be new antennas, new coax. Some of the coax has been replaced. Some of the antennas have been replaced, I think, over time. But when we talked about putting up a new tower, it would probably mean new building for it, probably instead of a little tin shed, a more standard block building, all the electronics that go along with it. We threw out a number of $50,000. I have no idea. And talking to them, they didn't really give us any indication either. It might be $50,000 just to install the stuff, let alone the equipment. But Tim was going to look into that and find out actual in-place costs, I think, for some of that.
Tim was going to, but we'll remind him once and stuff. So, because at the one meeting, and I don't remember what committee meeting and what, I don't know if we were here or not, but we had some discussion on if we're going to put up a new tower, we don't necessarily want to move all that old equipment there, not knowing the age or how long a life or anything, especially anything going up on the tower, that probably should be new. Now, you know, a repeater down below, that's something that can be replaced easier, but still.
I hate to put something new up and then nickel and dime yourself with all the old stuff hanging around.
Right. We did increase the insurance there, so we could just wait for...
I was hoping yesterday maybe, but it didn't.
That thing's going to last longer than any of us up here if we just leave it alone.
Possibly.
Was there a famous last words that'll be down next week?
Okay, we need Terry to talk about how great it is.
That's all we need.
Yeah.
So what was the timeline then about trying to get that going?
I think we were planning on discussion maybe one more time in committee meeting and then having something on the agenda. Maybe two meetings from now, I think, is what Myron was.
That was flicking through my paper. I couldn't find it. That was that company that gave us that bid.
Allstate Tower.
Yeah, that's been a while. It probably is different by now, but that was ballpark around $300,000.
Just a little bit of discussion we had at the one meeting was that if we don't start moving pretty soon, you know, nothing's going to happen this year, but if we could get some bids by sometime early spring so that then next summer it's there to put up, you know, that, because we need to keep working on it here now or we'll come to the summer and then we'll put a bid out late summer and then who knows what, you know.
Maybe there's some communication grants out there. I don't know either.
And John McKee, when he was here, you know, Monday, he gave that talk at Pictometry, and I caught that he said his that was MPG funding or whatever.
EMPG.
They designate some of that for some of those types of things.
Well, they've got that regional group that's down here that you can apply for funding for. I don't know what they have, but that if there's an opportunity for other people to bounce off that tower, there might be a mutual benefit to
True.
Use some of that regional money.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
But what we want from Tim is a cost to replace all the equipment too then, or an estimate.
An estimate on that, maybe, you know, any other. I mean, right now, the bids they gave us had footings, anchors, those things. We had also talked about bollards, possible guy wire protection. None of that was included.
None of that was in there either.
We didn't really get bids. They were rough estimates.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be good if we had some real dollars, because everything always starts out, well, it's going to be this much, and then by the time we're done, it's 40% more. Kind of like to know up front what it's going to be, approximately at least.
We'll visit with Tim about that. Road and Bridge. John?
Eric's got it.
Eric?
Talked about possibly opening up a Hickory Road, I guess closing it, to do box culvert or bridge work early. I let them get started on that this year. They've been doing some shouldering. We talked a little bit about the Board of Standards, if we were going to go up there, and sounds like we all decided to delegate Galen to go up and talk to...
Galen could give a little report on that once, if you wanted that Board of Standards. You visited with somebody up there at the state about us maybe appealing that?
Yes.
You called me the other day?
Yes.
Come to the mic.
You can sit there, too.
I talked with the Lemoyne Schultz up there with the Board of Standards and asked him if we could get on the agenda to basically appeal the decision that they had made earlier to turn us down for the bridge resolution that we'd turned in for relaxation of standards. He says, if you get on to appeal it, he said, that'll end up in district court. So basically, he kind of said, He said, it's up to you, but you might not want to venture that avenue. So he says, I can't get you on the agenda to talk about it, but he says then they can't act on that. It'd be another meeting, you know, to act on something. So what he suggested was to go ahead and put another resolution together and send it in to them for relaxation standards for that Adams Northwest project, and he'll get it on the agenda, and then we come up and plead our case again, is what his suggestion was.
Did he say which district court?
No, we never.
I wonder if there'd be any sunshine our way, depending on which district court.
No, that I can't answer.
Okay.
That's what I told the morning, too, is we didn't want to push it to district court because those are the same people we're going to have to go to in the future and ask for things.
Yeah. So Galen's going to work on getting a resolution put together again. And you talked with, I think, Tim from Spies, or somebody from Spies Lewis. I
talked with Tim Farmer, yes, with Spies Lewis, and asked him if he'd be willing, if he'd go with us again to go through this. He said yes. And that was prior to me talking with Lemoyne Schultz. And I will get in contact with him again. Because one of the things Lemoyne says is make sure you might have a few more better reasons or good reasons for filing for the relaxation request, you know, more than what you had last time. So that's what I'll talk with Tim about and see if we can get a few more on that to file with this resolution.
So sometime probably in the December time period when their meeting is, or December or January.
I think it's like the 18th of December, Don't quote me on that, but yeah. I think that's what I want to
We'll try and get on their agenda, and then maybe one or two of us board members, too, could also go along. I think that would show some good support, too, then.
Well, I still think there's a good shot, since you had stuff up there and we were waiting on the state, not the other way around. They should have some tolerance.
And just for information, what we're talking about here is that bridge project up there, they decided not to relax the standards on there, the design standards, and the new standards. Spies Lewis is going to charge us, they gave us an approximate cost of $10,000 to redesign it. What we're trying to do is to see if we can't get the old standards left in place so that we can maybe save that $10,000. That's what we're working on. Is that about right, Mark?
Right.
Yep.
And And from discussion on Monday with Mark, in this case, there really isn't any need for the new standards to be in place in this bridge either.
So this is a bridge project that's probably been in the works for 10 years, so it's been designed by the original standards. And
for a long time, yes.
A long time, and by Mark visited with us, too. We asked him several questions about it, and that we should be, those standards should more than take care of this bridge. So thank you. Thank you very much, Gillen. Go ahead.
Gillen said they are working on the 6th Township for fall gravel allotment, so we're actually on to fall and making progress on that. We got reports on some of the asphalt roads. There are some issues, but they're keeping a good eye on any cracking and any potential warranty work. Terry asked about looking at the house that we were looking to acquire across from the highway department for potentially a new office for the highway superintendent. And there's more talk on the Teepee Road. And I don't know, is that something we should talk about in executive session after everything with correspondence I've received?
Don't mention names, but you can sure tell it's your...
There's some property owners there I've talked to this morning. They're really unhappy about there not being a road there. They made the comment that they couldn't make it this morning because they got their pickup stuck on the way to their property where there's a lack of road. I told them to call Gillen right away. No, I didn't. But I told him we'd talk about this, see if there's anything we can do. Can we, and since you're here, this is probably good to ask you, Mark, can we go back to that goat path, put it back in the way it was, and let them have access? Or does that put the county, does that make the county liable? Does that make the township liable? It's basically a liability game now. It could be put in really quick and easy the way it was. But then there's the but. What happens if something bad does happen?
The but. The but's the problem. So if we can get buy-in by landowners and make it a lane and not public access, that's a different ballgame.
Mark, sorry.
It's a public road. Anybody's daughter, anybody's son, anybody's new driver can use it. So that's where those standards come in. So if we can make it a lane and it becomes private, then there is no standard. It's whatever anybody agrees to.
I think the township would be willing to, and I don't know that, but just to have it done, they'd probably be willing to pay for it, even if it becomes a private. Well, but then they can't pay for a private lane.
That's the problem. So what we would have to do is build it and then be petitioned to eliminate it, turn it back to landowners. But we can do things with that end game as long as it's in the public interest and we do it out in the open. So what we need to do is get with Roger, make sure that he feels comfortable with how we're doing it, and all the landowners are going to end up buying off on it.
I think that's a question, too. Will all the landowners buy off on that? Yeah.
If they're willing to do that.
That's a big issue on that.
I mean, that's a question I would have, I guess.
But some of the time frame in which this has taken place, we go back to when the flood took place, and it's a township road, and to fix that road would basically zero out Midland Township's budget. And so they're waiting for FEMA dollars to come in to fix that.
Right, and FEMA money won't come in first. FEMA comes in as a reimbursement if they deem it as an eligible expense after the project.
And what's more, Mark went over this with us, FEMA would want to restore it to original pre-flood condition, which you're looking at 100 plus. I mean, I thought about more. I mean, you might be looking at a couple $100,000 just to start shaping. The price to put it back to the way it was is about $17,000. So there is no reimbursement. There's no process started. There's nothing going through the FEMA channel yet to reimburse actually fixing this.
And there's no 24-hour residents out there. There is access to the property,
but not down public right-of-way because it washed away.
Right.
I guess
Madison County went through a lawsuit with this very thing in 2010, and we put a road in. I'll just tell you that.
They ended up having to put the road in and stuff.
Does this come to county then, or would this go directly to township?
If the township defaults or goes, it comes to us.
I guess, what should I tell these people? I mean, what direction do we have to go?
Follow the FEMA. Get FEMA. They need to go through FEMA. FEMA will write a project worksheet for the cost of the job to put it to pre-disaster condition. Say that's $500,000. The owner then has the right to come in and say, we want to do something different. FEMA says, fine, as long as it doesn't go over $500,000. That pre-disaster condition just establishes a budget for the project. Then we come in and say, we want to offset the road, stabilize the bank that's there for $200,000. And we do an improved project, is what they call it, or a H&H, a hydraulic evaluation, and say, this is what we ought to do, and it's cheaper. As long as it doesn't go over, then they'll look at that for approval.
Do we just step over the township and take that on then? I mean, I don't think that's anything any of us want to do.
It's not practical to spend those types of dollars and then leapfrog all the other viable roads that are out there for people who live places.
Absolutely.
It's a bad deal.
But there's, just because FEMA says that's what the project would cost doesn't mean we have to do that, and that we would take that money, because they're only going to pay 75% of that. What it does is it establishes that, yes, it's eligible, and that's how much the federal government will participate in, if you were to put it to that. Now, if that doesn't get done within a year, the Corps won't let us put that bank back. You have 1 year to restore disaster, otherwise it's going to go.
The day of the flood.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know if they've done that paperwork. I know
they have not.
So now I can't do wetlands delineations until the spring.
Because I talked to them months ago, because I had talked to Galen and I had talked to Roger about starting that process, because we can't get in until they start.
They thought that they brought the papers I brought to Galen and he showed to Mark. It is the pre-paperwork. This is what you need to do to file.
This is the permit you'll get, but here's what you have to submit.
And they took that as that's their permit.
Right. So they've got all the work to do. But here's how the process works. You go in. You work with FEMA. They write a project worksheet, an essay, that says this is how much you're eligible for since you're a public entity and this is the damage. This is the dollar amount you'll get that we would participate in, very well knowing that it's just not reasonable. We then come back, or the owner then comes back and says, listen, we can save everybody money if we shift this over 50 feet, armor the bank to keep it from moving any further, and put our new infrastructure over here at half the cost. FEMA typically will look at it and say, if it meets standards, and then NEMA, the Nebraska Emergency Management Agency, will look at it and say that it's cheaper, it makes more sense, we'll let you do an alternate project or an improved project on this offset location. The first essay just establishes the budget for the job. Now, if we decided to put it back, they would participate at that level. But then we would come back and say, listen, we got the one in North Platte where those two kids died. We're doing the exact same thing there. We got a pre-disaster condition in the millions of dollars. Nobody intends to rebuild the Platte River for 2 miles. It'll most likely offset the road and armor the banks. I mean, that's what we're going to work for, but it's a process you got to go through there, and the township's going to run out of time. Then what will happen is you'll have isolated landowners, of which you have to provide access to. It's statute. You have to give them access to the property.
Had they abandoned this before, it would have gone away. I don't know if anybody knew it was a public road even, really. I thought it was
That's the problem. Practically speaking, it's a road to nowhere. The landowners pay property taxes, but they're not residents of Gage County. So you've got a road that's technically in Blakely Township that they took over. Midland Township took over, so now they're taking care of a road that's not even in their township, but it's now their responsibility.
It's
washed out since I've been on the board probably two or three times. This is probably the worst.
It's just a matter of if we're legally obligated to put it in, we're kind of stuck.
We're obligated to do something.
We're obligated to do something, so I hate to say it, but I mean, I know the county doesn't want to get involved, but maybe Galen and you guys need to get a hold of Larry and FEMA guy and set up a meeting so that we start this process or
all the costs, all the direct administrative costs, the estimates, the engineer working for it, it's all reimbursable.
Yeah.
Right now, what you're doing is you're there's funds and there's federal funds for disaster available right now, but that goes away.
Project have to be completed within a year?
No, typically it's a 4-year deal. Okay, but so you have to have it identified and the paperwork done within months of the disaster.
Right. When we're that, we're even running out of time. That's before the year.
That, you got to get just get the base job down. Then you got time to sit here and count your chickens.
I mean, they're at a quandary, too, what to do. We're at a quandary what to do. But we need a meeting for sure with FEMA. Or they need a meeting, but we may have to help them walk through that so that we get that meeting and get this rolling before we do run out of time. Because then...
Well, I think they drug their feet initially because they thought that first small dollar amount, we'll put it back the way it was. Problem solved. Everything goes away. It's back the way it's been for years. And then that's not quite the case. Galen, would you be able to set up a meeting with Larry and Mark, and then I'll just be there also and... I mean, that's probably the best route.
We need to get we need to get the FEMA rep. We need to get NEMA out there. We need to get the essay written.
Okay.
Then you've got the funds available if you choose to go that route.
We choose. But if we don't get that
then
done,
got nothing.
Then we lost.
Then you got a landowner that has a right to access his property down a public right-of-way, which was there. And it's our obligation to maintain. And we didn't do it. Therefore, now what?
And he's starting to lose.
Eric already got an email. He could show you the email today he got from the property owner.
I don't even need to see it because I've been down this road before. We need to secure the funds because...
We need to secure the funds.
We or the township has to start that. We can assist them.
Well, yeah, but eventually if the township
funds... We just as well take possession and do this.
Yeah, funds are reimbursable.
Encourage them because once Midland doesn't have the money to do it, as soon as they don't do it, then it sounds like it's our baby anyway.
It could be a cost for the county that we don't need.
It could be a reimbursable cost. I mean, it'd be just throwing the dollars away.
I'll agree with you 100%, Matt, that years ago things should have been closed and no road and all this. Because the part of the issue here is, too, we could fix it this year, and next year we could have the same flood.
I promise you that you will be back here again if this
that
doesn't
river
get done
wants
right.
To go
you can look at the aerials and see the river wants to cut through there. And what will end up happening is, when it does, we'll end up building a bridge there if we don't maintain that channel now, which is why that whole road was built out of riprap. If you go down there, you can see where riprap's been dumped in there so that the river wouldn't take the road out.
And all the places in this county where we need bridges, and then you talk about building something down there on that crap, that's ridiculous.
Cheaper to buy the property out.
I think it's all Mark's fault.
Totally.
It is my fault. I take full responsibility.
Somebody's got to take it.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Mark.
And
that is a mess. It's a bad situation.
Yeah.
That was about it.
Good. Anybody have anything else for committees? Otherwise, we're going to move on. We're going to, with the time event, we'll skip. We'll introduction of new law enforcement deputies. Tim Hansen and Matt Murphy.
Good morning. Today is my pleasure to introduce to you two of our newer deputies. They've both been working a little less than a month. But we have Tim Hansen and Matt Murphy over here behind me. They both come to us certified with several years of experience. I think Tim has about 23
yes, sir.
Years as mostly a deputy sheriff, and Tim had around, 10 was it, 8 or 10? Through
23 altogether.
Oh, 23 total on him, total. So they bring a lot to the table. It's kind of unique to have some seasoned people come in that don't cost us a ton of money to train. So hopefully you'll see them on the road, hopefully a little quicker than our 12-week FTO program is. So this is one you will watch, guys. He's always a thorn in my side, so please keep an eye on him for me.
That's a white pickup.
Just team and construction. Can't miss it.
You can't miss it.
No. So, if you guys, anything you want to say about yourselves? Step up. Feel free to.
Well, I'm very happy. My name's Tim Hansen. I'm very happy to be here. I grew up in Omaha, started my law enforcement career after the Marines in the Chicago area. My wife and I met out way out west in the middle of nowhere and started making a choice on where we want to go. And toured Beatrice, and it's a beautiful, beautiful location. My wife works at the hospital up there as a nurse. So my last sheriff said great things about Sheriff Gustafson, so I knew I was coming to a good place, so I'm very happy to be here.
Had your last sheriff met Gus?
Yeah, Sheriff Gustafson grew up out in that county.
So.
Hi, I'm Matt Murphy. Began my law enforcement career in Douglas County. Spent about 14 years there. Worked for several different agencies. I just want to say thanks to the sheriff for hiring me on. I enjoy the Beatrice area. It seems to be very nice so far. I've enjoyed it, and looking forward to working here. So thank you.
Welcome both of you to the community.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Move on to Gary's.
You bet.
Gary, step on up here if you would. Give him a last official order. Well, as you know, Gary Wiebe retired once before from the Beatrice Police Department. Came over to the Sheriff's Office, been here about 12 years. So he has a total of 50. I did my math, so get off my case. And so he has decided to call it enough. 50 years in any profession is a long time. And 50 years in this line of work, I'll guarantee you, is a hell of a long time. And he did a very good job for us, coming over and working on papers for me and working the courts. And he'll certainly be missed. But he has certainly earned his badge. So,
I think I just want to make one comment. I think going back to 1965, I think my father hired him for the Beatrice Police Department when he was head of the police commission.
He started this whole mess.
Yes, he did.
Wait a minute, Gary. There's your retirement badge.
All right.
I will tell you, you got another one coming because they put the wrong back on. You'll have one for your wallet. This is just for your shadow box. But thank you very much for 50 years, buddy.
Thank you. Thanks for hiring me.
Well, you paid me enough, so.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say, go ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to say a short thing. I'm glad that I appreciate that the county and the sheriff hired me. Sometimes it's hard to put up with Gus, you know. But it was a good run, and he asked me one time about, do I want to stay a little bit longer? And I said, well, I'd have to go to the board and see if they'd approve a walker or a scooter. And he said he had doubted that, so I said, okay, it'll be time to go. And as for the gray hair, I don't know if it's from 50 years or from raising three daughters. Otherwise,
you're in trouble, Wiebe.
Otherwise, it's been a good run. I enjoyed it. And I'll be around. I'm going to go down to Florida for 3 or 4 months and go, you guys are scooping snow. I'll send you a picture of the beach. And then I'll be back. I'll see you all again. Probably him for sure.
We have a time to end at 9:30 yet, and we're not quite there. So, approve or disapprove lease agreement between City of Beatrice and Gage County for space to use by probation. And we're probably just going to have discussion on that today. As you know, at their last meeting, we did have a contract from the city. Their proposal, they sent it back with the 3% a year increase. And we had discussion about some things like the ADA and the elevator and so on. Did visit with Roger back and forth several times here in the last couple weeks about it, and Roger has sent a list of about 4 or 5 things back to Greg Butcher down now at the city for them to look at. He sent that back Monday or Tuesday, and several of them were wording as much as anything, some timelines in there and stuff, and some repeat things, but he also had the question about that, and then a question about the utilities and stuff down here. Just some of the cost otherwise. So Roger sent him back 3 or 4 or 5 questions. So once they get time to get their answer back, or we set up something to visit with them, then we'll proceed with that again. But it's moving on. It's just moving a little bit slow, but we're working on it or so. Roger's working on it, and Greg's working on it too. So I don't think we want to try and do the pictometry thing, because that's going to be a little bit of a discussion too, maybe. We have time for the Maximus Consulting Service.
Yeah, it's the same as year before.
Okay. We'll skip over to approve or disapprove agreement between Maximus Consulting Service and Gage County to provide professional consulting services for November 1st, 2015 through September 30th, 2018.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Lyle, second by Hill. Now, discussion, but Donna, explain this a little bit.
Well, we've had them for the last several years and then come into clerk of district court's office and also the attorney's office and go through different documents to recover costs for the county. And I know some of those costs have come back, like that goes back in for the purchase of child support equipment, things like that. So the agreement is the same as it's a 3-year agreement again.
And this is the same one basically that we've had on with this company before?
A number of years,
yeah. And everything. They, I thought I seen somewhere in here that was a little over $5,000
a year.
Yep.
Yeah. You got it?
$5,200 a year for 3 years, so a total of $1,560.
And some of these, the way I read through it, some of these paperwork, the projects and stuff, you need somebody that with this expertise to go through there and make sure the right paperwork's filed and everything so that those funds are taken care of. So,
my understanding in the past, the county attorney has endorsed this company.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rogers talked very, very favorable of them in the past.
He got a copy of this agreement. I didn't hear anything back from him that he had any questions.
Any more questions? Otherwise, we'll vote. 6-0 in favor. Let's go way down there to the bottom. We've got, it says 4 minutes on the clock yet. And this one, too, maybe it's just for discussion, but approve or disapprove purchase of the reproduction cost coverage on the courthouse in the amount of $7,206. We got a letter from NIRMA this past week, and every so often they go around and they reevaluate buildings of over I don't know, $100,000, I think it was, or something like that. And in our county, we have the courthouse, and they did reevaluate it. And what they're talking about here is we currently have replacement cost only on this courthouse, and the replacement cost value of your courthouse building is $13,182,100. But they are offering what they call a reproduction cost value of your courthouse building. You have the option to go up to that level if you want to. The reproduction cost, or to put it back in what condition we are today, is they value it at $18,691,600. But that cost, or that extra value, if we want to put that on this courthouse, would be a bill of $7,206 for the county. So that's why we're bringing it forward to the board here. You know, if you don't want to make a decision on this today, we can wait till next meeting to make a decision on it, but we at least need the discussion. There's approximately, $500,000 difference in value in what they are offering us there.
Myron,
yep.
When I read through that, I guess what I gathered from it was is that it would be, the structure would be put back to the same place as it is today. It'd just be that some of the materials might be different, is kind of the way I read it. Is that not correct?
I was along the same lines. My interpretation was the special nature of this building and the historical value, some of the dollars that we put in to try and maintain some of that. It sounds like the reproduction cost might be something fairly viable, because my understanding was this, I think just the special nature of that and the skilled craftsmen you may have to have to come in and do that.
You talk with one of just get your building back. And the other is to reproduce those things that are historical and that mean so much in this building. And we've seen from experience that we can have things happen to this building. So,
I think of the ornate nature of some of the courtrooms and the woodwork that's in there that Radigan's were able to do. And can you get Eric to put the stuff back? Yeah, but there's a difference in the specialty nature of some of that ornate stuff that they have the ability to do. That's how I interpreted that.
That's kind of the way I interpret it too. Just what everybody has talked about here. You won't have all of that back in here if this building was leveled, which we never know. But if it was leveled, you won't with the $13 million one. You won't have all of that included back in the new building or whatever.
So I think if you would see if you'd go out, which we try to do independently. Talk to other companies, see what costs would be, and we've done that in the past and found that what NERMA is offering us is extremely reasonable. And I would move to approve the reproduction cost coverage on the courthouse in the amount of $7,206.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second. Okay, go ahead, Gary.
I don't really disagree with the idea of it. I just think couple of weeks to let the public have an opportunity to voice their opinion to us would be a good idea.
That's up to everybody else too. I
don't have any problem with that. I don't probably we'd have a lot of conversation, but I'll withdraw my motion if you'd like to have a.
If we want to move forward, I don't have a problem moving forward either.
It would be nice to ask NERMA. That's actual reproduction. We'll have things back as is with this renovation, with this cleaning of the stone and new tuck pointing. We looked at some of the stonework out there. I didn't realize that was carved stonework. You don't cast stone, so that somebody took the time to carve that stuff. That would be a big thing. Is that what we're getting?
Do you feel that reproduction explains that enough, or should we get a better explanation?
No, I don't work in reproduction. So. But that's how I interpret that. That's going through the reading, and I think that's why they specifically put that in there. I think just the special nature of this building is...
Oh, okay, here.
It's expensive, unfortunately, to fix things around here because it's so special and unique, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you that the that's the way it reads, but you know what assumptions do also.
The last part, if I'll just read here, is the reproduction cost coverage may be desirable on older buildings of historical significance, such as courthouses, jails, that the county would like to repair or replace in the same type of construction to replace back near as possible as original condition. So I think there's a historical consideration there.
Don does have a good packet here. Somebody would like to look at that, I guess, from them. It explains it all, and it goes through and kind of explains what they looked at, the detail and stuff, and what they, I guess, how they're coming up with it. If somebody would like to look at that.
Maybe Matt could review that and get back to us.
Matt could review that and get back to
us. I'll keep my second on the floor. I'm comfortable with it.
I'm comfortable either way, too, Danny. I'm more than comfortable with going ahead and approve it, but it's up to you guys.
Okay, we'll leave my motion in.
As we went through that, as Danny and I went through that renovation on this deal, that was a chore.
Yeah,
if Ron Police was sitting there in Gary's seat, he would probably say.
But let's put it this way: if something ever happened, it would be the cheapest money we spent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is
an additional cost.
Yeah. It's another cost, though. It's still $7,200 that we're going to spend. But, we don't know that. That's an unknown. So,
those are dollars you hope you never, ever.
Never, yeah. You don't want to use it, but we do have a motion and a second to go ahead and approve this. So, vote 6-0. Thank you. Okay, it is 9:33 on the clock. We do have a time event here at 9:30. So I entertain a motion to close, accept, reject, or award bid for Hickory Road Project N-13 and 14 Blakely, N-17 and 18 Midland Grading Replacement Structures and Paving. Projects numbers C-34 in parentheses 1014 and C-34 number 1015.
So moved.
Well, I'm just going to say, I don't want to, I would say if we just close the bidding and then
move to close and receive. Yeah,
close the bid. We have a second.
Second.
A motion by Tiemann, seconded by Bauman. Vote 6-0 to close. Okay.
You're reading. Thank you, sir.
First one is Warner Construction. We have a bid bond here. Appears to be notarized and in order. Sit here with this while we go through these.
This is the number you're going to read. There'll be two numbers back here, and then the start and end date. So you'll have the total for the project and then the extra for the dowels, or for the extra inch.
Okay.
So these two numbers and then their start, stop. These are the totals for both phases, and this is with the alternate. You follow me?
Yeah, I'll just read all these. Basically, come to the last page, 5 of 6.
Yeah.
Okay, so Warner Construction for total of phase. Let's see. The market says phase two. Is that everybody?
Well, you got the two, you got the east and west phases. So really, what you need is width and enough alternate. So these two down here are really the important numbers.
Two ones, okay.
Because this is just for budgetary purposes.
Okay. All right, so the additional. So phase one and phase two. And this is with the alternate here, right?
With the
extra down. Okay, so phase one and phase two for Warner Construction is $4,348,054.40. And we also had in here a 9-inch doweled concrete because the initial was 8-inch. And this would be the alternate order construction, $4,639,054.40.
Can you give me phases one and two individually as well?
Or? Yeah, do that if yes. You would. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so Warner Construction, phase one. That's with the alternate.
Just above it is without.
Well, there's total for phase two. There's phase one and phase two on here. So phase one is. I should have just made copies for everybody.
If you just look at page 2 of 6, that's phase one, right?
No.
3 of 6.
I want to be consistent in how I do these. So if I go phase one, here's the alternate phase two.
Yeah, there's.
And then phase two is back.
Here's your base bid.
Here.
This is for the dowels. That's this.
Right,
business.
Right.
And then the second phase
is here.
Yep.
Let me see.
Don't worry on it, please.
I don't think
so. There will be over there, though.
All right.
You want to get it?
So yeah. So phase one, let's go back here, Warner Construction. Phase one is $1,127,921.64. Then there's an alternate on top of that for phase one, which would be $1,218,921.64. Phase two of that project, of this project, is $3,220,132.77. Mm-hmm. With the alternate of phase two would be $3,420,132.77. And then just to reiterate, the total for the project without the alternate is $4,348,054.40, and the total for both phases with the alternate, $4,639,000.
$54.40.
Matt, do you want to read the start and stop dates?
You read on the last page. Where you read the last one?
Phase 1 start of construction, August 4th, 2016. End of Phase 1 construction, November 11th, 2016. Start of construction, Phase 2, May 16th of 2016. End of construction, Phase 2, November 11th, 2016. TCW Construction, we have a bid bond. Everything's in good shape. Yep, we're not. Phase one, $1,284,268.02. With the alternate on phase one be the 9-inch dowelled concrete as opposed to the 8-inch. Phase one alternate is $1,342,258.02. Total for phase two without the alternate, $3,568,034.98. With the alternate, $3,695,304.98. Total for phase one and phase two without the alternate, $4,852,303. With the alternate, phase one and phase two, $5,037,563. Start of construction, phase one, spring of 2016. End of construction, phase one, fall of 2016. Start of construction, phase two, March of 2016, dependent upon weather, and again, end of construction, September of 2016. It's TCW. No, that's all. That's all. Paulson, Inc. Take on the ride. Total for phase one without the alternate, $1,071,216.50. With the alternate, $1,121,216.50. Total for phase two, $3,298,246.50. With the alternate on phase two, $3,408,246.50. Total for project phase one and phase two without the alternate, $4,369,463. And total phase one and phase two with the alternate, $4,529,463. Construction start phase one, May 18, 2016. End of construction, August 26, 2016. Start of construction for phase two, March 1st, 2016. End of construction, phase two, August 26th of 2016. All right. All of the bids, three bids, Warner, TCW, and Paulson.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Thank you. We think the company is definitely coming and bidding at this project. We appreciate that very much. Mark kept informing us that there was a lot of interest in this and this project we're doing and everything, but we thank you companies for coming and bidding and making proposals. We appreciate that. I believe at this time, though, I'll entertain a motion to refer these to the Highway Department, to Galen and Mark, and to I believe we're going to wait for 2 weeks to approve this with the discussion we had with Mark on Monday. And everything, so that they have time to review everything, to make sure everything's in accordance with what the project called for on specifications. So I will entertain a motion. Is that okay, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll entertain a motion to refer these to the Highway Department and to Mark Minnelli for their review, and we will award this in 2 weeks.
So we're not excluding anybody at this point. We're just reviewing them to see. And Mark, I have a question. Can we segment out phase one? Because we separated those separately. It's not an all-in, correct, for phase one and phase two?
The award will be, the project will be based on the total for phase one and two, or the total for the all, phase one and two with the alternate.
It can't
so
be.
You only have one contract.
Yeah. There won't be separate contractors for phase one and then another separate one for phase two. It'll be one we'll award it to one contractor. Yes.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Bauman, second by Hill. Does everybody, any more questions, I guess, or everybody understand what we're doing? We're basically, we will finalize and award this in 2 weeks, pending, a recommendation from Mark Minnelli's and his office and from Galen. Vote 6-0. And again, I thank you companies very much for coming. We appreciate that very much. We thank you for bidding on our project.
There's something like that here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just
because
they
can't
hold
it. Steve, good seeing you.
Who is that? Steve Regas. He's with TCW. We used to be with LJ Webb.
And we're going to take a 5-minute break before we go on to pictometry. We'll back in session at 9:52 on the clock. One thing I should have done it up at under committee reports. I want to give a little bit of a report on the wind farm meeting, not the wind farm meeting, the zoning meeting the other night. And I apologize for this. I should have really talked about it then. Doug was there the other night, but. I think I talked to Matt a little bit. I haven't talked to John yet a little bit. They wanted to refer it one more time back to our committee. They've got several things on there, not so much at the DBA and some of those things. They've got some other things and some questions. They would like this kind of informal committee that we have. They would like us to go ahead and have some more discussion yet and bring it back to them one more time.
Okay.
So I don't know. You guys look at your calendar the 23rd or 24th of November, see if we can get together or something or whatever. We'll visit about that later here. But
I see what you're saying.
They had probably 20 to 25 people there the other night. I had them down in my notes that 12 people actually got up and spoke at the zoning hearing in the public comment period. And the next Miss Solomon or whatever, yep. her and then their attorney were here, and they both spoke. But they were also very good to be here. A lot of the questions the zoning board had, they could answer some questions about this or that with wind towers, which none of the rest of us knew. There were, like I said, there were 12 people that spoke the other night at the zoning board. They set their next meeting for December 3rd, again at night, and at that time then they hope to set a public hearing then at their January meeting, so it's delayed just a little bit. But there's been some articles in the paper. Lincoln did approve theirs on a 3-2 vote on Tuesday. At the 40 DBA and the 37 at night. So
they
Lincoln,
dropped it clear down for the provider won't accept that.
Yeah. Well,
and actually, Lancaster was at 35 DBA. They've actually increased it, but they dropped it down from what they were talking about, but yeah. It's actually an increase from their existing.
Next year, the people from next year did have 4 or 5 pages of handouts there with the circles and each one of the, I call them the houses, you know, at 40 dBA at 50 dBA, 45. So they had four pages of that, and it did pretty. When they went down to the 40 dBA, it eliminated a good share of Lancaster County from being in. Now that's their, what their projection shows of what that did or whatever.
But the provider, the wind farm, the wind people said that they wouldn't accept it at 40. That they wouldn't build at that.
They build. Yeah.
So it would be all done.
But
that's our comments.
Yeah.
Did they make accommodations for, maybe I missed it because I read the journal story yesterday, did they make accommodations for non-participating and participating?
Now that I don't know.
See, that's the difference, I think, with what we're trying to do is create a participating. So
yes.
for the wind producers to be so fatalistic and throw their hands up and walk out the door, that just means you got to sharpen your pencil and go talk to people. Yeah. And then the technology has to improve. And we've already seen technology improve. And so I did read that. They said, well, it's just not feasible. Well, maybe Lancaster County, because of population density, just excludes it. Yeah. And that may be. Maybe there's less densely populated areas where it is feasible to do that.
That is a good point. In our proposals, what we've come forward with, the 40 dBA, that we are listing in there just specifically the words for non-participating homeowners. And then we're including, Amanda is rewriting that a little bit yet. A participating homeowner will need to abide by the wind farm's requirements, whatever they are. So if a participating homeowner, the next era won't put one in less than 50, then they have to abide by, that's all they have to abide by. Now, a participating person, and Amanda's talked to several legal counsel, and the legal people from NextEra also explain this. A participating person is anybody who has a signed lease agreement with that wind farm company. So, in other words, if they're going to bury a transmission line across your farm, you are now a participating person.
Now, what about just a homeowner that's so closer where they can become participating without any signed, well, they'd have to have something signed.
Right.
They could become participating just with an agreement saying, let us do this, we'll give you X number of dollars, and they're participating even though there's no infrastructure on their property.
Because our committee has had quite a bit of discussion on that if, you know, maybe the wind farm company, they need to step up and get somebody to be participating by offering them some kind of.
How far away, or where's the 40 decibels at? Is that at a property line or at a house?
From the house.
And how loud is 40 decibels?
Well, they did a sound study, and I know Senator Haar, he wrote an article in the Journal Star, and I don't believe he was at the meeting that we were at where they had gone through and they showed the science. The sound is not subjective. The sound, there's empirical data out there that shows the stimulation of a neural pathway that when you start to approach over 35 decibels, there's some discussion that can stimulate the brain during sleep and could cause long-term sleep disturbances and associated health conditions. So that was, and it's shown that it's not necessarily the decibel level. It's the modulation, and they given it, the example was a dripping faucet versus a running faucet. Running faucet will put you to sleep. A dripping faucet of the same decibel will annoy you all night. And so that's where they were trying to talk about the difference between noise and sound. And so there is empirical data out there that shows that there are sleep disturbances associated with any sort, not just wind noise, but any sort of decibel level above approaching near and over 40. But the visualization, there are multiple articles that said that there was an inverse relationship between the annoyance of a wind tower and how well lined your pocket was with money.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that's one of those things where it's just so subjective. It can cause health problems, it can cause all this. But if you're getting paid, all of a sudden those health problems go away, and there's probably studies that say that there is no.
Well, I think that's the information that we have now that we didn't have 5 years ago when we first put these in place. So, we could absolutely completely ignore everything and consider it to be bunk science and ignore that. But what happens 5, 10 years down the road when there's more that says, yeah, it kind of confirms that. So it appears as though there is some science out there that shows there are potential health hazards related to
sound decibels over 40. Now,
and they have had health departments that have made those recommendations with nothing to gain whatsoever.
Right.
And they're making those recommendations based on how much it can hurt you.
How loud is 40 decibels? So, I mean, I know it's quiet, but...
They say it's some reports I've seen, they say it's like the hum of a refrigerator.
But you don't notice the hum of a refrigerator because it doesn't modulate.
It's the same. You walk into a room, you might first notice it, but after a while, you never notice that hum of that refrigerator. Now, that's just one example.
But if a person wants to be participating, then that doesn't matter. Then they could listen to 65 or 70 decibels. That's up to them to choose. So and again, I think that you see so many of these wind turbines, and I was told the only reason they're not putting bigger ones here is because the way that the land is platted, we can't get the big ones out here because they couldn't make the turn at the section corners.
Really?
So there's a lot bigger ones that they'll float out into the ocean. We just run out of room.
Yeah. The lady from Next Air said that they have developed, they're not in use yet, but over 600-foot towers.
Yeah. You know, that's the data that we gained from going to those, which I think Lincoln Lancaster, that was, talk about an education, that was wonderful. And they presented the data very objectively, and then they allowed both sides to give their opinions, and I thought that was very well done. And that's where we came up with the recommendations, was based on that information. And, you know, I would say probably we've had pro and con in our group, and I think we're trying to come up with something that allows for coexistence and not really exclude or omit it. You look at steel flats, really, they're pretty sparsely populated. We don't hear a lot from those folks down there. But if you go to a more densely populated area, you're probably going to hear a lot more. So I think there's places that are very appropriate for them, and there's probably places around Gage County that will go in.
One other thing then, too, is, Amanda, then we've asked our legal counsel, or Steel Flats ask, that project down there, are they grandfathered in? And yes, they are for what is there. In other words, those 12 towers, if something happened to one, they could put it back up at exactly what the original standards were. But if they wanted to add to that project, then those would have to qualify at our current existing regulations. So if they wanted to add another 10 down here in Gage County, whatever regulations this board or the zoning board and then this board, whatever we finally approve, they would need to be built at those specifications. So...
And I think the other factual statement is prior to Lancaster or Gage County proposing to change anything under the old regulations, Volkswind pulled both permits.
Yes.
They never even completed the one in Gage County. There's no active permits. There weren't any even under the old system. They turned one into Nancy down there and it sat and they didn't actually do anything. Never went before the zoning board. So it's not that something's being thrown out. There was never anything out there. So theoretically, we could say we have one wind farm, if you will, that came into Gage County under the old regs, and there's never been another official application submitted.
And they were very divided on the county board on the relative to what they should or shouldn't approve this and how, and I think they had like a 3-2 vote.
Well, even their health board that night we went up there, they forwarded on their recommendations at a 5-4 vote because they have 9 people on there. That night it was 5-4 at the higher ones, and then the county board come back and approved at 3-2 at the 40 and 37.
The health board was broken on this also then?
No, I don't. Was that the health board or was that kind of their equivalent of planning and zoning?
Well, it's their equivalent of the zoning board.
Yeah.
Some people call it the health board. I don't know exactly what the right name is, but it's basically their zoning board. That's where all the zoning goes through.
But they were divided on...
But that night up there, that vote was 5-4 to forward to the county board 50 and 42 decimal levels. So,
And depending on what side of the fence, there's people that want them so restrictive you couldn't put one anywhere, which I don't think is appropriate. And then there's the other folks that want them to go everywhere, which...
Well, the way that they've talked about... people really are talking about this. I mean, this has definitely sparked interest. I've had two people right off the bat say, well, if the money that came in was different, and I agree with that too. The money we get, it's based on the power production we get so many dollars property tax.
$3,518 per plated kilowatt.
But then 75%, give or take, goes directly to school budget. The rest goes, it's not any, nothing comes back as far as tax relief or anything. It goes to additional revenue for the schools. Two people came right out and said, well, if that went into property tax relief or something, infrastructure, something like that, or lessen the dollars taken in by the school on the levy, they'd be more apt to be
in favor. It will indirectly, and I visited with Lori. When that money comes in, it whatever the location of that, that's how it gets divided out, however those mill levies are or whatever. And, yes, it does. Say, for example, just take Diller O'Dell. They're getting in so many dollars now. Supposedly in their budget, those dollars come from somewhere. So if they're getting that in from the wind farm, those towers, then that you could say it would be an offset to collecting property taxes. So now I don't know how they budget it or how they handle it. That's up to that school district.
If you could actually see an offset, though, where these dollars come in, so then that's immediately lowered. Seldom, if ever, does that happen in our wonderful world of government intake.
But it's also not all about property taxes. It's about the ability for a landowner to make income off a property that they have purchased and that is theirs. And we do the same thing. We have setbacks and zoning regulations in the ag area for animal units and things out there. So I look at that and say, well, how much influence should a non-landowner have on somebody that has bought, paid for, is paying taxes on that land? And if they can put something up that's safe and they can reap income off of, why should we stand in the way? So that's the balance. That's a tough balance, just because it's not all about property taxes. It's about the ability for people to make income, personal income, off of these as well.
And keep checking your county emails, because it's anywhere between 1 and 3 emails a day. Now, in the last couple of days, I didn't get any, but there for a while there, we were getting 1 to 3 emails a day on people for and against it. I mean, to our county emails. So yep. We're getting, and the one they wanted you to read 100-and-some page report from somewhere. And
I'm on page 69. Where are you?
You're in 69? On page 1 yet, I'll just tell you that.
No, there's a lot. There's just a lot of. There's a lot of information.
There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot more than there was when this our wind farm regulations were developed here for Gage County in 2010. So there's a lot more now than then. And like I keep telling people when they ask too, there's a lot more interest. It's just wow, I can't believe it almost. But that's good and bad. I mean, they get to say their voice. They get to voice their opinion, and some of them are doing it at every meeting. So, but. Our public hearing will be after the zoning boards. I just will throw this. I threw it out of committee. I don't know when we have that public hearing, if we want to have a special meeting, have a night meeting or not. I'm just throwing that out for thought. We don't have to make that decision yet or whatever. The zoning board said that they will have theirs at night because a couple of their last meetings have been at night. Otherwise, ours will be at this meeting where we have it at 9 in the morning or whatever. So,
and we are not carving these in stone either. That's the good thing, is that as technology improves and changes, we go back and look at these. And I think there's some of this ultimatum on some ends. These are a work in progress. You look at them, hey, it doesn't fit anymore. Maybe setbacks are less. Maybe the technology improves. Maybe they're quieter. Maybe the designs are different. So maybe these companies should put more into R&D and quiet these things down, and they would be a lot more palatable, and they could dense them closer. So,
is that really the argument, is the sound, or is it just people don't like to look at them? I mean, is the sound the way that we say we can't do it because it's palpitates at night and I can't stand it, or is it just the visual?
Well, it's truly both. I mean, some people don't like to look at them. Some people find them, think they're neat out there on the landscape.
If I was getting a big chunk of money, I'd surround my house.
Put your wooden clogs on and start going around and feel like...
Well, I'd have no problem. My shoes would be made of wood.
I live, what, 6?
I'll tell you two things from the last Lancaster board meeting I went to. One was the attorney that represents both NextEra and Volkswind was there and spoke, and he said you don't need two separate regulations for a populated area and a sparsely populated area. That'll sort itself out from one, as to where they're appropriate and where they're not. And the other was the senator from out west got up and spoke about some ranchers from Cherry County wanted to form a wind association out there, and they were afraid that Cherry County was going to adopt Lancaster's regulations. Well, unless they're talking about the cattle listening to them, there's no problem. I mean, there's plenty of places out there to put them.
You know what an effect that has on cattle?
They'll be walking around in circles or something.
Well, yeah. The loss of weight. That's a terrible.
As far as the annoyance of sound.
We'll be able to sue over that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The annoyance of sound when the booster station is, you know, when they're powering up or whatever on the south side where I live 6 or 8 miles away, that whoop, 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 you can hear that. You kind of forget about it. You just get used to it.
I live about a mile away.
Yeah.
And, I mean, is there some way that they should be paying me for this somehow? Because it's something that's there. You deal with it, I suppose. But
you can go to 1-800 hire an attorney.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, did you see that somebody's building a house just to the north of the booster station? The basement right there.
Like, yeah. Within 100 yards, like, boop, 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 boop.
Really?
When they're pumping, it's,
yeah.
My brother-in-law's live just south of there, and it's.
We were over in Belding's addition, you know where he's at, where Belding has his home. Mm-hmm. Just, you could even hear it from those lots, and that's quite a ways up.
It's not as bad as the old big engines, though, those old.
It's not all the time, either. It's
the blow-offs are louder. That's another thing. Boy, when they blow off pressure, excess pressure, that is loud. It's one of those things, I suppose, you get used to the noises around you and don't notice.
Well, I think so, but I think also think the reason they moved those houses away from those pumping stations was people didn't like being there. You know, they used to have houses right around them, but they don't anymore.
Down there used to be quite a few houses in there.
And from an economic development standpoint, the amount of taxes that those pipelines have paid in Gage County and in this state is huge. Huge. I mean, you look at millions and millions of dollars that they have paid. And so economic development, like,
and provide
makes
jobs
a big difference.
Too.
Yes. I mean, employment. I worked there when I was a kid in college. Worked there in the summers.
When your dad was a police chief, right?
My dad was not the police chief, but he hired the police chief.
Oh, he hired? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, thank you for letting us visit about that a little bit. I know, I like I said, I should have had that back when the committee reports, because that will be coming before the board here at some time, maybe January or February. I don't know when ours will be, but we will keep having discussion on that. We'll go back up here on the agenda, discuss and approve or disapprove the pictometry program pending approval of an agreement with them. And we worded that in there. Because they do have contracts that they do with anybody who signs with them. We do not have a contract here to look at or whatever, but that we put that in there so that pending the approval of that contract, that's if we approve this today, that's why that last wording's in there or whatever. So, because we felt we couldn't get anything here for Roger in time for him to look at or not or whatever. Because, Patty, you go ahead and explain what you would like to, but I think they need to know here by, well, city needs to know a little bit, and then they also need to know. So.
Yeah, and I talked to Doug about the flight plans and so forth, and so he probably needs to know immediately. He can get a contract together, and then this budget proposal is what we ended up with. And John and Myron and I went down to the city to talk to Doug and some of those. And then we had a meeting with Jefferson County's emergency manager on Monday, who showed us a lot of things that it can do for several offices. And I thought he was very good in the layers that he's built as far as, you know, pictometry goes. I think you all know that I'm a big supporter of it. A lot of counties have been contacting me. I'm sure we'll talk about it at our meeting tomorrow. Richardson signed on. Odo's looking at it now. Jefferson has had it for a number of years. Lancaster and especially the counties up that way have it. We had Tim in on it, seeing, you know, what he could do as emergency management. We had Chris Witolski come up, who uses it quite a bit in Jefferson for his own personal company, is what he, but, you know, he likes the pictures. You know, of course, we'd love to see the 3-inch because that's what a lot of the counties are doing, but I think we start out small and then see where we're at. For my 1 and 6 year plan, I've talked to several people. It's definitely a great attribute to my office. you know, I can't say enough about it from what I've seen. The Bellevue meeting, user group meeting, was extremely helpful in learning where technology's going and you know, what it's doing. There again, Beatrice already has done. In 2010, they flew it at a 6-inch, is that right?
Inch.
They're now reflying it in this flight plan with all the planes. There's going to be 22 planes up in the air, and they'll be flying it at the 3-inch. So Beatrice already has it, so this would be the share to the Gage County. And then John and Myron made the comment, which did cheapen it some for us, is to do the small towns at the 9-inch and not at the 6-inch. And so the towns are involved in it, just at the higher.
The original proposal Doug gave us, he had each of the individual towns, and they do it by sections, what they call sections, and they don't necessarily just follow a section of ground, but they are sections they plot out. They were going to do all of the individual towns at 3 inches, just like Beatrice. And when we were down there at the city, we requested that, no, let's do all of the whole rest of the county at the 9-inch. If one of the little towns or smaller towns would like to, or feels they need something better, that cost will be on them then.
Then we also talked about planning and zoning, how it could help down there because they could actually measure from planning and zoning without going out into the field. Basically, John said he barely ever goes out unless there's a, you know, a measurement from the road or something that he has to do. So from that standpoint, if we create more technology in the boardroom, we'll be able to pull up homes during protests where you guys can see it better. Like I said, the user group meeting was extremely helpful, and I've got a lot of emails now from different counties asking. I've called Lancaster, and they use it. Norm's already going to have it reflown at a lower resolution. Talked to the state a little bit about it. It's definitely a great tool from my standpoint in that in the rural areas, I can sit at my desk and basically measure the outbuildings with the tool. And then I also would have to have a person on site, but 75% of the work could be lining up the map of where they set the home, the buildings, measuring them, and then having a person on site for a very limited time to say, okay, it has concrete, it has electric, it has these things that, you know, and I think one way or the other, I have to be on site, whether it's by foot, whether it's, you know, I do have to go on. It's the amount of time that would lessen me being on that property, which in turn I think is probably a better thing. You know, we try to talk to the people. And you know, I guess it's not only – this could, in some sense, help people too because I talked about it, finding buildings that are out there and just looking in some of our flyovers that we've done with GIS. A lot of people don't pay attention to their outbuildings, and a lot of them are very, very bad. So some of them could essentially actually come off the tax rolls because if you buy a property, a lot of times there's an old house sitting on there. You're buying it for the farm ground. That house may not be lived in, but, you know, people need to come into my office more and look at the map of what we've got. Let's look at your outbuildings. You know, some of them the roofs are caving in. Some of them are, you know, the essentially could come off, you know. So, you know, it. To say I'm going to go out there and get tons and tons of value, there could be value I'm taking off the properties, too. Because we all know that a lot of the farms are bought just for the land, and the buildings might be torn down or just left there because there's a fee to the property owner to tear them down, too. The harvest stores that used to be worth tons in their day are not worth anything now, you know. So, and I have some elected officials here that I think, you know, they showed Don a tool that it can use, be used in voting. We take baby steps to start this, and then I think we, you know, move it forward with the layers. And I just feel very, very strongly about it. Like I said, I didn't need another clerk in my office. I did do a flyover with GIS 3 years ago, and I paid for that out of my budget. So this is something that I don't know whether we talk about putting it in my budget or whether we talk about how we want to proceed with it, if you want to proceed with it. My understanding at the sign of the contract, I have to have 25% down. And the 300,000 figure is not, it's about 194,880 if I did my math over the 6 years.
But you'd only need 25% of the
32,000. I only need 25% down, which I think I can probably swing if at the signing of the contract.
And this would replace your GIS flyover?
Yes. I mean, I've already done GIS, so this would be a layer on top of that now.
But, and you wouldn't be doing GIS in the future?
Not flyovers, no.
Yeah.
That you'd use their software?
We're still, GIS hosts and it runs my website. It's just like anything that you use, you have to pay a fee like TerraScan. We're using all their software. So it's my understanding that it will be a layer over GIS and it'll be, I mean, we won't be doing flights as far as...
GIS to identify parcels and stuff like that.
Yes, so ArcView will still be there. And we pay, what, I think it's $7,000 a year. But that's to host your website. That's to do all your parcel layers. That's to do the mapping that she does. And Myron has seen that through the right-of-ways and things that we have been able to do.
You won't have to redo that.
GIS flyover. That
or not the flyover, but the mapping and the parcel IDs. Those will all just plug right over onto the pictometry.
She's already built those layers.
And Beatrice is picking up the entire cost of their part of it, right?
Right. And it is cheaper for Beatrice if the county goes on. If not, they have to go through Douglas County, and it will be a more cost to them. One thing we do have, we update imagery because every 2 years they do the land, right? But that's FSA. Is there a CD or a flyover of the FSA? That's not out of ours.
Yeah, the state flies it about every 2 years.
Yeah.
They try to. The FSA doesn't get it done every 2 years, yeah. They try to. When you go out there, they,
I
they do
only
it when money's available, too.
Only if the property owner gives me access. They have to bring in the maps to me. So there's a privacy call. Yeah.
So there's a privacy issue there, but there's not if we fly over.
The only thing that the privacy is, Eric, is because, like, Myron would certify his acres, right?
Yes.
And so that's the privacy thing, the certification of acres. If we want to see how many acres Myron really has, it's only best if the taxpayer works with the assessor so we know.
If you're looking at his acres, that's why you have the two big screens, so you can...
Yeah. This is just, to me, you know, we either stay in the past or we move forward. 3 years from now, the technology could, like Matt mentioned us a little bit ago, technology is moving forward. What we see in 3 years, Lancaster, Omaha, they're out in the field with iPads now. You know, we're not at that state, but I can see where that's huge. You can pull up from the, you know, you've got your iPad in front of you and as big of a county as they are. For law enforcement, I guess, I don't know. Do you have any?
Well, on the,
yep.
The law enforcement side of things, like John is here Monday, the critical 360 is huge for us on a safety factor. You can come in advance and take your camera and get your each of your floors, each of your rooms. Then if we have to go in there for active shooter or whatever, the team can sit down, look at that, and it's a 3D. You can just see it, just everything just like you're standing in the room. That's huge. I can also see if we're trying to get a raid established on a curtilage, we can go back and pull that up and get some very much detail of that layout for the team when they go in for safety factor as well. So I guess I know Matt's concern on the privacy thing is a concern he has. My bigger concern is going to be the drones. They're going to be fast approaching, and they're going to be far more of a concern to me than this pictometry is going to be as far as privacy goes. So, but that's just a couple of things would benefit us, obviously, on that side of things. And it all revolves around safety for us. So.
Eric don't have a drone yet, so the county's okay right now. So.
I might not want to see what he's doing on these planes.
Actually, at that user group meeting, that was the prize at the end was a drone. And that's exactly where they're going with eventually, under bridges and everything.
So the 3D, though, is that part of this?
No.
The imagery.
Oh, the 3D imagery, yes.
Yes.
Inside not
the ortho looking down.
Inside the building.
No.
Inside the building.
I'm sorry.
So that'll be an additional cost that'll come next.
No, not to the county. If unless there's a building that the county wants, if the schools want that, that would be where there would be a good benefit. If they want that, that cost will be on them.
But where do we get the equipment to take that?
They would, okay, this is what pictometry has in Lancaster. They've got GIS, and all these entities are involved to pay for it. So if the cameras want to go into the school, then I say we call the school on board at some point. Now, one thing that's going to have to happen, and they're pretty sure this is going to come down the pipe, is that schools are going to have a layout of their whole school, which I would assume some of them do. This is probably going to be a mandate. It hasn't, you know, but with all the shootings that have taken place, it took them 48 minutes to get into Columbine. And so what they're going the hospital's probably going to have, everybody's going to have some kind of plans in place to know where everything is at. Now, with what Gus would do, you know, if we work with the Beatrice School District, if they want to put the cameras in place, that is going to be a fee that I don't think the county should have to absorb.
The cameras, or I thought that was just something you go in and tape everything and then...
And we can do it. I mean, the only thing is with the 360, that is something that the schools, if they want that, they would probably be the ones that would have to absorb that, not
who
us.
Who owns the equipment that takes the 360?
Pictometry.
Owns it, and you just go and use it.
But the hospital, too, over in Jefferson County, he's built the floor plans over the hospital that's gone right onto the screen. The hospital is totally built into his pictometry, his layers. The flooding, he can show the flooding and then say they know how fast the water's running or rising. He can show quickly where the blue will be in another
John's kind of built that in over there. John McKee did. He put the floodplain in on his. He'll relate it, and he said... with the flooding they had over there was amazing, right? They said the water would come up to here
to evacuate people. If an F4 tornado comes through, they will automatically fly the county for free. What I had to do at one point when the Hallam tornado is, as the assessor, I had to go out and determine what homes were there and how much money was lost valuation-wise for FEMA. And so... in case something like that would happen, and it probably will in our time again, or it could, we would have the whole section laid out to find out where homes were, even in the search and rescue effort. It was just amazing. The tools were just amazing from what I saw. You know, from what I'm doing right now, this is the assessor's part. It could be Gus's situation if he had a SWAT team happen to go in or something like that. The school is another area that, so. Any others, Lori?
Anybody else want to comment or question?
Well, I just think it's a great idea. Patty's told me about it, so I'm just here to support her.
And then Dawn, I don't know if she...
Well, and if we do go forward with the program, I guess I would use it for the precincts. You know, obviously, it's important to get people right in their right voting precincts. So, I mean, it sounds like it could be beneficial for that.
Now, when we look at the different line items of accounts, there's enough in your budget right now to take care of this without asking us anyway, isn't there?
There's only enough money. Doug explained that I have to have 25% down, so it'd be 25% of that 32, whatever. I believe there's enough to do that, and then you would have to put the remainder in my 2017 budget. And Don and I did do a look at what the, like I said, I did pay for the flight of GIS for the last 3 years. It was $28,000 just to do the flyover of just the rural area.
That was a one-time bill of $28,000.
And that was a one-time bill with one camera. I mean, this is a dimensional ortho and everything. So, Eric, I believe because Dan is retiring in March that I could make this work on the down payment, but I would have to make sure that you guys would approve it, the rest of it, into my budget in 2016.
With not replacing that other employee, though, wouldn't there be enough there already? Or you lowered your budget when they left?
I lowered my budget's
lower. We didn't calculate that for payroll, so it automatically lowered.
If you look at her budget... Down. Since 2012, yeah, 2012 was higher than it was the last year her budget was.
Plus you would take away insurance that you would pay for an employee, which is, what, 600 and some?
A month. 608
retirement.
A
month.
I'm talking a little about $8,000 or 25% down off your $32,000.
And I'm pretty sure I can swing that.
And this saves you enough time that...
I really, you know, I went in with an open mind, and I said, is this just something that... I went in with an open mind at the Omaha-Bellevue thing. And at that point, I was just really excited when I left there to see the technology that it can do. Now, my office is a starting point, you know, Tim, Gus, all those other, you know, everybody that wants to use it, it'll take time to build some things from it. But from my perspective, the 1 and 6 year plan of me being on sites and doing things like that, because I have to, one way or another, I have to be out there. Well, and planes are going over all the time. And like they said, there'll be 22 up in the air come as soon as the leaves are off the tree. So I'm willing to put it in my budget if that's where you guys want it. I think I've made the case for it. I hope I have. I hope it's nothing I disappoint anything on, but I think we use what we can. You know, 10 years ago we didn't have the website, and people call in all the time, and we're getting complaints on the GIS website, so it's kind of a hard thing to maneuver anymore right now. And we're going to talk about that with GIS, you know. A lot of people, even from the professional standpoint of appraisers. So,
Gary.
Okay, Patty. So your GIS was $28,000 for 3 years worth of GIS flyover.
That's just a snapshot.
So about $10,000 a year that you're not going to be spending on that.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. One of the things that I've heard repetitively over the last couple of weeks has been the Jefferson County reference, and Jefferson County came over. Why don't you just, you know, the thing that I've heard is that, well, Jefferson County doesn't use it, and they use Google Earth, and they use GIS, and they don't use their pictometry. They use all those things more. You haven't touched on that at all. What did John have to say about that? Because that's the thing that I've heard repetitively.
He actually said that he can actually see the people that hit it. And he said it was amazing, all the people that hit it. So he kind of, even with Eric, because Eric asked that question that day,
yeah,
he kind of reverted back to no.
He pulled that up. He showed the assessor had been on there, was it
300 and some times or something?
I don't think it was that many. Was it?
Somebody was on there 300 and some times. Chris Witalski was here.
He was on it 68 times, I think, looking at stuff there, which...
And that's for Chris's personal use. He's not their surveyor.
But he'd be able to use that here, I suppose. But their assessor had been on there. Do you remember how many times it was?
It was quite a few. She's a new assessor from district court. The old assessor did not, and she's passed away now, but she was not really, you know, you kind of get to where if it's the old way of thinking, it's kind of hard to change, especially I'm one that's kind of like that, you know. New technology's a little bit scary to me. I mean, when I saw what I saw and what I see coming, I'm not sure, and even Matt said to engage with people. I understand that, but it's just like, you know, your phone's outdated in 3 years or your computer's outdated in 3 years. I mean, that's what's happening, and we need to keep moving this county forward, especially the size of our county. But back to John, he had nothing but great things to say. He said he would use Gage counties and would help us as much as he could with figuring
and Gary,
a lot of things
that
out.
Same question you just asked. Terry, before John even got to start, Terry raised his hand,
yes,
and says, John, I heard directly from people over there that nobody uses this in Jefferson County. It's a waste of time. Terry asked that same question. And then John went through a little bit, and as part of it is with the assessor's office there and the changes they've had. He explained some of that and that how they're using it now and stuff. So.
Well, I'm just putting it out there because, I mean, I've been a supporter. I was a supporter the first time we looked at this.
Yeah.
And my only draw is when the advantages that we can get for it, the dollars we're spending, is it the positives and negatives outweigh each other? The way I look at this, Patty, is that I think that I don't know why we're even voting on this. You've justified why you should be doing it. Put it in your budget. There's no reason for us to vote on it. You move forward. At the end of the year, if you need money, you do just like Gus, and you come to us and say, hey, I'm going to be over my budget, and this is what I need. I just don't see any reason that this is even coming in front of the board, and I think you've got the justifications for doing it.
I like new technology. I just hate spending money on new knickknacks that we're just going to have to replace in 3 years just so that we can have the newest, coolest thing. I don't see anything. This isn't something that's going to wear out in a few years. Something that if everyone can use it, there's there is potential for it. I know that John, geez, he must put hundreds of hours into what he's done there. I then wonder why they don't have something else for him to be doing, but that's for them to worry about.
But I think with that, he does so much for PNZ too, and that's, right. I'm
he's
trying
PNZ,
to,
yeah.
He's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's basically, he wears multiple hats. And I think this would help your planning and zoning some too. As far as, you know, they showed the different measurement. The measurement tools is what I have that GIS never did have on things, so.
Well, I guess I'll refer to Gary's thought then. Do we need to approve this or not? I don't know. I put it on the agenda so that we could vote on it. I don't know. Roger's not here for legal either on this. I don't know.
I don't know. We worry about the sound on those wind towers. Are these planes going to make a lot of noise and bother people?
They'll be there and gone.
I like the application for what we do in Road and Bridge when they come across for the things that are in our right-of-way, like the way the Beatrice wants to use that. You know, where's a phone line? Where's a water line? I think that application that boring underneath our roads, I think that's very appropriate. I think from a health and safety standpoint, I think it's very appropriate. I just disagree with the philosophy of spending additional taxpayer dollars to fly over their house to take pictures for the purpose of taxation, and the amount of dollars you brought up last time that you would have to bring in to offset the cost. Do we really think that there's that much value out there? But I agree with Gary, because I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. You know, if this is a tool you want to use, you do it.
I have a question for Chief, but you're kind of up on the technology. The new equipment that you're getting in the cars now, because I assume Beatrice Dispatch is going to be, I mean, they seem to be pretty current on things. Will they be able to shoot stuff right to your car and where you could have instant access to these things too? While, say something bad happens, which we always hope it doesn't, but say you're out, you know, on scene, you're sending people in.
Yeah, and I think it can be done both ways. So, number one, they can use the computer in the car to access the system right there on scene or, you know, before they get there. And dispatch can also monitor that, and they can see it, and they can advise them if they're en route or they're going, you know, fast enough they shouldn't be looking at a computer, then they can relay the information to them directly. You know, so that's both. And I think your previous communications director, I mean, he touted that support of that technology and that use, and so they would integrate seamlessly. And from the last time that we all looked at this, and, you know, there's some things about it that we're going to have to learn a little bit as we go, obviously, but part of that critical 360 was the camera, and then we could take those pictures. So that's something that needs to be looked at a little bit more in depth before we assume that's what it is. So I think that's something to keep in mind. But it's going to be a good tool that just about every elected official's office in the county could probably benefit from some way or another. So.
Doug Grimmett, you might talk a little more too. If I remember right from about 6 years ago when we discussed this the first time, there was the software down at the dispatch. You could lay this over the top. I mean, there was another layer, like we've talked with other things. And I mean, it's really pretty cool.
It can create multiple layers throughout the whole county. I mean, it isn't just a residence that we're flying. I mean, they'd fly the whole county, so they get a capture of a residence when they do it. But so anything with roads, bridges, fire hydrants, you know, you can create as many layers in there, I think, as you need. So you can get probably too many at some point, but your beneficial layers, you know, to what, if the fire department's responding, they want to know where the closest hydrant is, and they can have a layer just for fire hydrants. You can have a layer for, you know, city sewers, and I mean, you can really take this to the next level. And John McKee, I mean, he is a technology wizard, you know, as far as I'm concerned, but he has really been supportive of this since they had it, and I mean, he is up to date on everything that goes on over there, and, you know, they've got multiple resources that we could also utilize and share back and forth, you know, and he would, I'm sure, be a big help to us in this, so.
Would we need somebody like him, though, to, I mean, We can buy all kinds of stuff if we don't know how to use it. I'm guilty of that sometimes. I get stuff and it's really neat, but then I don't really know how to utilize it.
It's a pretty user-friendly system, if you remember, previously when we looked at it. And they also recommended maybe sending one or two to a school to go to that. Maybe it was a week long, if I remember right.
They have training.
Doug, what have
you seen? So you kind of need a point person.
Yeah, they had that's a good point, Doug. Do they have where they – because it used to be you go into, like, New Jersey or somewhere.
I think he's coming on site now.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in my opinion, it would probably be good to somebody to get with Patty and maybe have, you know, maybe a couple people outside of her office even. So, you know, if that person isn't available or something happened to that, you at least got that information that can be passed on, another reference point that you can go to for somebody, you know, to have that information to know how to use it.
One thing that was kind of interesting, too, that we did talk about, like a lot of these for law enforcement have fenced-in backyards. So they have a SWAT team or a domestic problem. The guy from Jefferson is John, right? I keep wanting to call him Jeff. He explained that right away they can see a swing set in the backyard. Okay, we're probably dealing with kids, so we want to just maybe approach this differently. There's a team in the van or wherever however the SWAT team works that's talking through the officers. There's a window here. There's a door there. At one point in time, you know, there may have been a dog in the backyard that you may have to encounter. But the main thing that I thought, especially with your fenced-in backyards with the high fences, seeing a swing set, okay, we may have children in the house. And that is a huge thing when you're going in. Another thing they did show us was the skyline in Omaha. They talked about taking a building down. They could show that building coming away and what that skyline would look like and then show how you could put different types of buildings up. So, I mean, it can build models. It can just do lots of things, but you have to work with it.
Now everyone can access this. They just won't have everyone in countywide, statewide, worldwide can access
this.
Except not with the tools.
Not with the tools.
What about like the critical 360? That's not something we would want people to be able to get into, I wouldn't think.
I wouldn't think you would.
No.
You
would
not. Say I want to have I don't know. You could use this for bad things too, though.
Party?
That's not what I was thinking. That'd be a good thing. Say I hypothetically wanted to grow a garden somewhere. I mean, that could be used for that too, I suppose, but
you want to use this for your grow operation, say.
When the county gets a drone, then we'll go look for that stuff, yeah.
It's, you know, I think from my standpoint, we're getting a little bit more fearful out there just because times have changed. And I don't want to use that, but, I mean, things have changed. You don't know what you might run across anymore at any point in time.
Okay, I'll throw this out. I'm fine with Gary's suggestion that we leave this in your budget and then we don't need to vote on it. I'm fine with that. Does anybody have a problem with that? Because then we'll vote on it. Otherwise, it's something that I think you've worked real hard at this, Patty, studying what you need to do, and you presented a lot of information to the board. I think glad we had these visits you did with Doug and that we got a cost here, a better understanding of what it's going to do. I mean, and what we're going to fly over and have from pictometry. So I really appreciate that. I'm comfortable going forward with, we'll include it in your budget and knowing that going forward, we have to work with you as your budgets come up in the coming years. So
appreciate that.
Unless somebody has an objection, then we will vote on it. Otherwise, I think I get the sense that everybody's okay with it.
But I guess the reasoning behind what I'm saying, Myron, is you know, she's talking about $10,000 from GIS flyovers. So now your cost is down to $22,000, relatively speaking. You know, and you know that after we get through this first year, you know, you might find that maybe we parcel it out too, where
zoning.
Yeah, P&Z, maybe you maybe apply some of the costs there, maybe you apply some of the costs to Gus's department, maybe to Tim's department.
Tim's department, yep.
You know, there's maybe you parcel it out, but I just don't see any reason that, she's justified it and she's decreased her budget in the last several years.
And if you look at her budget there, the last 3 or 4 years, whatever it was, the spending, you can tell when Lorraine was here and then when she left, it dropped her budget by I forget how many, it was more than $10,000, so. it was a decrease in there when you didn't fill that position again. So there, you've had less costs in your budget the last few years too and stuff. So going forward, like I said, unless somebody would like to vote on it, we'll vote. Otherwise, I think the board's comfortable with you going ahead and proceeding, Patty.
Okay.
And now there, when we do get the contract all in, that's something that Roger will have to look at and approve.
There is a clause in that contract too if we decided to back out. I mean, at like not for the 6 years, if you decided to back out and stuff, there is a clause in there that Doug said that we would. So, like I said, I really have studied this hard. I tried to go in with an open mind, and I think I have. And, you know, I've got a really good computer deputy in my office that understands a lot more than I do. A lot more than I do.
And
I
who is that deputy? Yeah. Who is that that does that?
She's right there.
just for the record, just because we're not voting on it doesn't mean I agree with it.
I know.
I spoke with Terry Juergens this morning, and Terry wanted me to express if it came to a vote, he would vote no, but he can't be here.
Okay.
So I think for the purposes of flying over for taxation, it's inappropriate use. For the other uses, I think it's very appropriate. I think that there are some absolute tools for that, but I don't think it's for the purpose. So if people call me, you own it, you bought it, you can talk to them.
And I respect that, but I hope you respect my decision to do this too, because I have a job to do and that's in by statute. So,
thank you. Thank you for the discussion we've had the last couple months, because this has gone on for a couple months. But I think the board has a better feeling of what it all involves now. So I thank you for that. So,
okay. Thank you.
And once a year, we want to report from Annette how it's working. So, no.
You need to come visit our office.
We are. That I think that will be a very valuable tool, and Dave is working on getting some thoughts, ideas together so that in this room we can have some kind of projection screen, TV, something. We don't know what yet, but something so that...
What?
Yeah.
Technical improvements.
Technical improvements so that we can, when John came the other day, come in and hook your computer up and we have it up there instead of pulling out that screen that blocks off a third of the room or whatever. So
well,
we are working on that. So.
Road and bridges and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, Myron, I think you've seen what the GIS has done with the right-of-ways with the nets up, you know, setting
yes.
down the computer, too. So any of you are welcome anytime if you want to look at some of that, too.
Well, it was very helpful. And in the Hickory Road right-of-ways, we went in and measured up which class of ground it was and how many feet along there, and that's how we paid them. That's how we came up with the dollar amount to pay them, so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The one other thing I see on the agenda yet here is approve or disapprove the purchase of laptops for Sheriff Department by a resolution for lease purchase or through a loan from Inheritance Fund. And I don't know if we want Gus or Don. They had some discussion on this because there was going to be some cost if we went through a loan through that company. And the thought is, should we take it maybe out of inheritance and then budget every year that much would come out of his budget to go back in to repay inheritance? We could save about, what, $5,000 or something?
A little over, I think, on the one. It started out with a company you bought them from. If you don't purchase them outright, they have a company they go through, lease company. And, of course, it was an act of Congress for Don to go through all this stuff. It was just unbelievable stuff. And through that process, Don and I were talking, and I got to thinking, maybe I should call NACO and just see what they have to offer. They were about half the cost, close to it, I think, from what it was. We got talking more, and Don mentioned, well, maybe this be something being to be budgeted. We already have this year's payment already in the budget we can take out and pay for them. For the next 3 years, just budget that in and take it back out right away, inheritance or wherever, and then avoid all the interest on it. Because it ended up being, I think it was like $23,000 some change every year.
$23,000, I think, from NACO, but then they had a fee.
A one-time fee.
So it was almost $4,000 we were going to be paying to borrow $70,000,
yeah.
I think.
So what the thought here was is that if we paid the whole amount now, took it out of, say, inheritance, or there's also an option of miscellaneous general, and then what we'd be doing is saving that fee, and then as the budgets come forward in the coming years, we allocate that money back out of his budget and replace it in the inheritance. So we're not spending it. We're spending it out of inheritance, but that inheritance is going to save us about $4,000 in interest over the next 3 years.
But in the end, it won't come out of inheritance.
part.
In the end, it will not come out of inheritance. That would all, that 77,000 would all
around.
Be replaced back in inheritance.
Through the sheriff's budget. He
through
would budget
sheriff's
for it every year. We would approve it. Yeah.
Right.
And then it would repay, in effect, the inheritance. We'd take inheritance and transfer it to the sheriff's budget. Okay. How much the interest on that if we...
On the NACO lease, the interest itself was around $2,400, and then they had their fees on top of that. The other one was...
And what were the fees on top of that?
$5,600. It was $1,800 or $1,900.
It was a 2% or something like that?
They used their money.
Yeah.
And the reason we didn't talk about doing this before is that we've never really operated the inheritance fund as like a CDBG fund where it goes out and it comes back. We've never done that. And so I guess I kind of on the fence about it. You kind of work it. You can kind of talk yourself into it. Yeah, you're saving some interest money out there, but you're still taxing people. It still comes out of the general fund that you're is a general levy, and then you're just paying it back. But
what about that? There was that one the one line item we found when we were going through things. It was an EMS. It was like $76,000 or $86,000 in it. It was something we didn't know we had. It was there.
And security.
That's
from the sirens. That money is.
Yeah. This was a different one.
No.
You remember what I was talking about, Matt?
Yeah, that
was. Homeland Security does have 86. I thought that was the fund you didn't know about.
Well, right, but those were the dollars that I thought were allocated that I didn't realize those were actual cash dollars sitting there.
Cash dollars.
But we were discussing using some of those maybe for the tower. Would that be an appropriate use for the tower that is out there?
Well, I do know by talking to the auditor that is an option. This was talked about longer ago, the people. Do that, you can require a payback, you can take money out of the inheritance, or you can require them to pay it back, which it can be budgeted for him to pay it back in inheritance. We can do the lien or the lease. It makes me no difference. I just brought that up as a possibility of, you know, you're saving $4,000.
Yeah, if we do NACO, he tells me they're about 30 to 45 days out because they have so many people applying for funds from. And then, because it varies, but he said then they have to come through and approach the board with a resolution that they're going to be borrowing that money. So he said plan on 30, 45 days or something like that.
So. What is it if we don't go to NACO? What is it if we buy these and we don't do this lease purchase through NACO? If we need laptops, if we need them, what does stop us from going out and buying the laptops on our own?
That's what we're talking about, then. Just have him pay back inheritance, and we get the money back for you guys to use toward whatever you want, but we're not
because
being charged.
When we put the budget together, he wanted this big dollar amount, and we said, well, just let's do this, because his idea in his budget was I can get a lease on this for a period, or I can get a note to pay that off over a period of time, so we only had to put this much in his budget versus this much in his budget.
Because if this money all came out of his budget, he'd be back here.
I'd be back right away.
He'd be coming back in April for more money. His budget ran out. He'd be coming back in January probably.
If we give him $100,000 instead of the quarter amount, then he'll go out and buy a car and a half.
Car and two-thirds, I think.
Smart cars, thinking two or three of those, you know.
Bicycles. So I don't know. It's just... The reason we didn't put the budget together this way is because we've never used that as a...
And we don't do it.
As a loan.
I remember the discussion, but I don't...
I guess what...
I'm not for paying extra for anything because it does cost our taxpayers. It costs us. And if we can work something out where we don't have those lease fees, we don't have interest, I think that's what this board should do. And so I have... a real problem.
Well, I'll entertain a motion to do that, Denny, or from somebody if they want to. So moved to take it out of inheritance?
Pay it back.
And then pay it back over the
second.
3 years. Okay, motion by Bauman, seconded by Byers.
Pay it back.
And pay it back. And
pay
make sure that
I'm
pay
clear.
It back.
Have the sheriff sign the note.
Are we going to put any interest on this for Don's time?
No.
Should have been for that other lease. That was ridiculous.
No, Gus. Although, you know, as we go forward with the budgets, we could take just a little bit less out of Gus's because he don't have to pay that interest.
That's right.
But,
yeah.
I think that, you know, and as I thought about this, Don contacted me the other day. I thought about it. For smaller amounts like this, there may be an opportunity to think about that differently. You know, if you encumber huge dollar amounts out of inheritance to do that, like when we did the motor grader, and of course we had like
a
2 or 3%. That was $270,000 or something. Yeah. That's probably not, but a small amount like this doesn't encumber the entire amount. That might be something we look at to kind of do a small little. It holds people accountable for the expenditure, but it doesn't hang the taxpayer for the interest. I mean, it probably makes sense from time to time to look at it.
Okay,
but it is a different way of thinking about inheritance.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and as long as I've been on this board, the board has definitely been aware of the fact not to operate out of inheritance. And I think we need to maintain that thought process or whatever, because that's when you get yourself into some hardships sometimes.
And that's where with the paying back, when we work on the budget next year, then I will just show a transfer of that amount of money back in his budget to go back into inheritance.
And this works right now because you do have funds in inheritance where, you know, if them funds disappear, you know, for whatever reason, then all of a sudden this isn't an option. So, but I think it's good to take advantage of it while we can.
Okay, vote.
Who's made the second?
Oh,
do we have a second? I don't know.
Yeah,
Matt and Denny.
Matt and Denny.
Okay.
Vote 6-0.
Matthew and Dallas.
Dominant Buyers. Does that help you?
There you go. B&B.
Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody see anything else? If not, we're going to have a closed session, and we also had something else come up. We do have a personnel issue that we're going to talk about, but we also I can't remember when Scott came in. Now we had workman's comp issue. We're going to talk about with an employee, and then we have a real estate thing. Roger gave us some information on what the house down there by. Highway Department, where the setting is on that. we bought the one house. I mean, not bought.
It's all coming together.
Tax liens or something. We got the one house, but there's another house down there.
It's going to be something they're going to look at.
I entertain a motion to go into executive session at 10:56.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bowen, second by Hill. Vote. 6-0. And there won't be any decision coming out of it, Scott, or anything.
If you buy a 3-2 beer in Colorado, you could. You can't. Other place, so they'd come to my place once. Well, I couldn't sell 3-2.
$32,040. Sorry, we should have.
Of course. Of course.
That's per year. Per year.
And so I have customers from Chicago.
They are a single case doing the 6 years.
When I saw that come in, it's like, well,
whatever they want to do with it. I couldn't ask them
if they were going to
do it.
She has to have a fourth of that.
Absolutely. They take it back to Chicago and sell it. And
that balance of that.
Something that I knew.
And the preceding payments, too, will be at the start of the next fiscal year. John and I went down there and saw that. John was the one that saw that. You'd have to talk to Beatrice sometime. And they do it by sections, and they had Beatrice mapped out with, they call them so many sections, and it was going to cost so much. And the 3-inch cost you about $450 to do, and this 9-inch is about $130 a section. They had all the little towns, too.
Oh, yeah, see what you can do, too.
I had about 6 seconds.
You can line up sometime.
Well, at least 6 seconds. They had Virginia. They were doing 6 sections on Virginia, and they had that priced at a higher rate. So what we did was we went in all of the towns out there. Now we're going to be at that 9-inch. If they see a need or would like to do at 6 or 3, we have until they fly to make that adjustment. But then our position is that town's going to have to give some money.
I don't know what it's going to save the
city. I agree with
whoever. Patty didn't give that exact
number. Patty says if they go with the county, it's so much cheaper than if they go with what they have in the past up there, Sarpy and Douglas County, in that situation. So, and I don't know that either. Though that's the city.
Jerry,
hanging
in, okay?
You guys just really tough. Some of us had an opportunity to visit with him. Some of us had an opportunity to talk to him. Denny's went and visited it with him, and it's something that you hope nobody ever goes through.
I don't think it's bad.
Ron.
I thought
I'll entertain a motion to come out of executive session 11:44.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Bauman. Vote. Anything else for the good of the order?
Did you even look up?
Yeah, I see that. He wants to stay in executive session, Petey.
Oh.
I was waiting to see. Now, what was this for?
No, I always do. That time I didn't.
I saw the red, but I thought it was a...
I was team and abstaining. No. Anything else? Otherwise, meeting adjourned.